Welcome to the Delivery Diaries with Vanessa Nag. This is a podcast about how families were started. Join us as we hear parents tell us their stories of how their children were delivered, whether that's through birth stories or adoption stories. Listen in as we laugh together, cry together, and learn together. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Delivery Diaries. Before we get into this week's episode, there are a couple things that I want to share with you guys. First thing I want to share is that I created a Patreon account for the Delivery Diaries. And if you don't know what Patreon is, it's a place where you can pledge your support for the podcast. You can pledge from $1 a month to $100 a month. Whatever tier you're comfortable with, I've got you covered. With each tier, you get a different benefit. One has a private Facebook group that I can add you to. Another one is a thank you announcement on the podcast. And it goes all the way up to even getting doula advice on a Zoom call with me. Really any advice. If you want to talk about life, if you want to talk about doula work, the podcast, anything. Your support would help keep the podcast up and going and also help with production cost. You can consider it like buying me a cup of coffee. Whatever you can pledge, I would be so very thankful. The website is www.patreon.com/thedeliverydiaries. And Patreon is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. I'll leave the link in the show notes as well so you can see it there too. Another thing that I wanted to share is that I have completed the advanced doula training with the VBAC link. So as some of you might know, if you've heard episode one, which is my birth stories, I had a VBAC myself. So VBACs are very near and dear to my heart. So I took a training for VBACs. So I am all completed with that, and I am now a trained VBAC doula through the VBAC link. And last but not least, I have joined a doula group here in Dallas called DFW Birth Resource. You can go check out the website, www.dfwbirthresource.com. So if you or anyone that you know is looking for a doula, you can head over to that website and find my bio and get in contact with me through there. Okay, so now that I've let you guys know all of that, let's get to today's story. This week, Sharina shares her vaginal birth after two cesareans. She searched high and low for her perfect provider and didn't start seeing her midwife until later in her pregnancy. Sharina was better informed and knew her options that led to a victorious and redemptive VBAC. Hi, how are you?
Hey, Vanessa, I'm well. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the Delivery Diaries.
I am glad to be here.
Awesome. Well, do you want to tell listeners a little bit about you and your family?
Yeah. So my name is Sharina. I am a mom of three, a wife to an amazing husband here in Glen Heights, Texas. It's a little city outside of Dallas. We're about 20 minutes from Dallas. I am a entrepreneur, but I'm also a personal assistant to an entrepreneur. So I am a boss mom / full-time working mom because I enjoy working for people. And I love being a mama. I've got an 8-year-old who's my princess, and then I've got my two princes after her, a 3-year-old who will be 4 on Wednesday, and then our newest baby who is now 8 months.
Great. Well, I know that you're going to share your VBAC story, but do you want to give listeners a little bit of background about your two first births?
Yeah. So I was 22 when I had my daughter. So I was 22 when I had my daughter, got pregnant, had a birth I didn't have. I mean, had a easy pregnancy. My pregnancy was not difficult. I just didn't like being pregnant, to be honest. I was young. And everything went really smoothly. I actually had my daughter on her due date on the day of, and, everything was going fine. Went into birth and, did not dilate quick enough with her and got the epidural. And after the epidural, of course, this is my first birth. I have no knowledge. I did no classes. Like, I was like, I'm just going to go into this and do it. And I got an epidural with her and, it ended up turning into an emergency C-section because she started to, what did they call it then? She was distressed in the womb. And so I didn't know anything, you know, I didn't know that I could, you know, keep trying or move to the side. You know, I literally had no knowledge. Had a C-section with her, recovered really well, pretty quickly. And then a few years later, I got married. So 24, I got married, and my husband and I, maybe about a year and a half into marriage, got pregnant with our son. We got pregnant once and then experienced a miscarriage. So this was our rainbow baby, and had a great pregnancy with him. Didn't have really any complications in pregnancy with him, but I knew that I did not want to go through a C-section again with him. And so I actually had tried, I did it's called a TOLAC. So trial of labor after cesarean. I had a little bit of more knowledge with this birth than I did the last birth, because I knew I didn't really want to go through a C-section again. And I don't know if you're familiar with Enneagrams at all, but I am an Enneagram 3. So I'm an achiever. But went into labor. I listened to a book, you know, listened to one book preparing, and went into labor this time. And actually with my daughter, I didn't even mention, but my water did not break with her. They had to break my water with my daughter, my first birth. And so this second time, my water broke on its own. And I went without any medicine. I was like, I'm going the whole night. I'm not having any medicine. I'm not getting an epidural, you know. And then we get to the hospital. My husband falls asleep. Yeah. And my family made so much fun of me my first birth that I didn't call anybody to come to the hospital with me. I was like, husband, it's me and it's you. And he was like,
good night.
Good night. He woke up and I had given in, like I had went all the way, you know, I don't even remember how far I was dilated, but I had, you know, birthed for a while without any medicine. And then I just got so tired. You know, you're hooked up to the machines and all these things are going on. And long story short, I got an epidural. The doctor comes up to me and says, hey, you know, they go through the things and they're like, hey, there's a really slim chance that this could go wrong. What do you know? It goes wrong for me. I got an epidural. They went too deep. And he's like, hey, when you wake up from your C-section, you're going to have a really bad headache, but we're going to be able to correct this. Woke up. And long story short on that, with my second birth, I had a C-section, but that bad thing, which was them going too deep in my spinal fluid that caused a spinal fluid leak. Thankfully, I didn't get paralyzed. However, I had my son on Friday, and between Friday and Tuesday, I had to get 4 epidurals.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. It's called an epidural blood patch, where they take blood from your arm, put it into your back to clot where the spinal fluid leak is. And I met 3 out of the 4 anesthesiologists that are on staff at that hospital.
Wow.
One, which led me to say I would never have any more kids. Because it was the most excruciating pain to be recovering from a baby C-section, pumping and having a newborn baby, and having basically my head, I would get up and my head would be banging. Like, you couldn't take anything for the headaches. The only thing you could do was lay flat on your back. That was enough for me to say, babe, we got a girl and we got a boy. I don't want any more kids ever again. We are done. No more kids. Well, the Lord had other plans. we had a pregnancy, experienced another miscarriage right after that. But thank the Lord, it opened our heart, because, you know, I was like, no more kids. I cried. Got pregnant, and which led to our VBAC, our rainbow baby, and our victory redemption birth. Those are the two births. Gave me a lot of information to lead to being more prepared for our final victory with. Was our VBAC.
Yay.
Yes.
So do you want to tell listeners how you found out you were pregnant?
You know, you mentioned like, I can't even remember. I remember finding out about when we got pregnant prior to him, but my body, like, I'm just so used to my body. Like, I don't miss periods. And I can tell when I'm starting to get snappy or feeling like really super emotional. I literally find out that I'm pregnant between 4 and 6 weeks in every pregnancy. So because this was like the 5th time I was pregnant, I can't even recall how I found out. I just know we found out we were pregnant. And when we found out, I'm probably, knowing me, the way that I find out I'm pregnant, I realized something was going on. I went to the dollar store because dollar store, their tests are legit. I'm sorry. I've always taken them. If they say you're pregnant, 99% of the time you are pregnant and you could take five of them. Okay. I'm a mama who believes in budgeting.
Sure.
But I took the pregnancy test and I went over to a pregnancy center and they confirmed we were pregnant, which was a great experience, especially because they were really gentle with us because we had gone through two miscarriages. And we didn't have to pay for any of the testing and stuff like that. So from then we found out we were pregnant. And when I found out I was pregnant, I said, we are doing things different this time. I did not rush to an OBGYN. I didn't know much about midwives. I'm not against doctors. I just knew the experience I had to be different this time. And so we started our search for a midwife.
Awesome. And so how did you prepare for the VBAC, like mentally and physically, and how did your pregnancy go?
So the pregnancy went great. I was probably my happiest pregnant. I made sure that I was in plenty of groups that were supportive, especially when you've experienced a miscarriage before. You're constantly fighting the thought that something is going to go wrong at any moment.
For sure. You're
like, oh my gosh, like what if I just stay pregnant longer and something goes wrong? And so I constantly had to like literally pray all the time. Like God would not allow me to get this far along and have peace about it and be preparing and putting on my heart to do all these things just to let me down in the end. And so I made sure that I was constantly listening to things. I listened mentally to a lot of things. There's a book by a woman named Judy Mize called, oh goodness, what is the name of that book? Supernatural Childbirth. It's a great, great book. It just gives a lot of scriptures for you to stand on in regards to your body, what it's able to do. I had to tell myself, like, your body is created. It was created to birth a baby. Like, God made you specifically for this. And I shut out doctors when I was looking for people. If they were like, oh, I'm sorry, you don't have a good chance at, you've had two C-sections, you don't have a good chance at having, we don't support that here. And I said, well, thank you for your information. You know, I gave them statistics. Actually, it's more risky to have another C-section than it is for me to have a VBAC. So thank you guys for the help. I will go to the next place, you know, bye. And I do not recommend this to people, but because I was healthy and I didn't have any issues, I had started with the OBGYN. I didn't actually start seeing that OBGYN until later in my pregnancy because I was so gone hold about seeing, I had taken the pregnancy test. You know, we had gotten vitals and all that stuff like that. And all of those appointments were like, you know, the sonograms, we had gone through all of those things. So we didn't get set with someone until really late in pregnancy because we really had to make sure it was the right person. We had gone from midwife to OBGYN. And we just had to make sure it was a good fit because we needed a team that was going to support what we were doing.
Exactly.
I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm about to have a baby like in a few months and I don't have a midwife, but it worked out. But I listened to books. And there was also another book on YouTube that is actually a YouTube you can listen to. I listened to it a lot. Like I would walk to work. So I would actually walk. I took the bus to work and I would walk a few blocks every day to get to work from the bus stop. So I was walking all the time, exercising. I made sure my diet was good as it can be outside of cravings. You know, if I ever got pregnant again, I would even be more strict on working out and staying active and stretching and drinking my water and eating the right foods now that I've gone through it once already. But I listened to just things that reminded me like, that my baby was going to come when it was ready. I have friends that have done hypnobabies. Have you ever heard of hypnobabies?
Yes.
So I started to do that. I'm not that disciplined for that. I have friends that swear by it. They've had their babies by it. And I'm like, that is wonderful. I even have a friend that's like certified. She loved it so much. She became a certified hypnobaby doula. That just was not my thing. You know,
yeah.
It's like truffle oil. If you like it, you like it, either like it or you don't.
Right.
Right. So I actually just, I knew that my mental space had to be in a good place though, because, and I seen that when I had the baby, how important my mental space was.
Yeah.
Cause it was just a whole different thing. But I listened to Childbirth and the Glory. It's something you can actually listen to on YouTube. It just goes over scriptures that remind you of how your body was created, things to just meditate on while you're like, while you're in pregnancy. It goes by trimesters. And it just basically reminds you, your body can do this, you know, your body can do this. I did a lot of research, so I had to make sure that I knew facts. There is a group, the VBAC link on yes. Facebook.
Yes.
That is great. That is great. I had to equip myself with facts and not just what everybody was telling me. When right. I tell you, Vanessa, nobody supported the fact that I was going the VBAC route. They were like, why aren't you going? I mean, my family, they were like, I know you want to, I love my family. Bless their hearts. You know, they just want the right thing for you. And when you don't know, you don't know.
Exactly.
You don't know. And, you know, I just had to show them that it was possible. They were like, but you've had two C-sections. Once a C-section, always a C-section. And I'm like, that's not true. Like, it's not true. Your body can birth the baby. You yeah. know, they talk about the 1% chance of you having a rupture. You know, I had to know these things, and my husband had to know as well. So when we met with the first midwife at the very beginning, she came armed with information, and we just did all of our research so that when people were coming to us to give us what they thought and their fear of VBACs, of something they didn't know, we were able to say, thank you for your concern, but this is what we know. And these are the facts that we know. So that was so key, I think, in regards to me being successful in my VBAC as far as mentality was concerned.
So do you want to get into your birth story?
Yes, absolutely. So let's see. I had my son. You can kind of tell after a few kids. I don't know how many kids you have.
I have two.
You have two. Okay. Even after the first time, you kind of know your body when it's kind of get into that place of the baby's ready to come. You know, I woke up with my daughter knowing I was going to have the baby that day. So I woke up, I was, you know, my body was kind of crampy a little bit that day, and I'm about a week out from my due date. At this point, we have a great midwife who's amazing. We love her. She loves us. We've got a plan. I was achy the day of, and I could tell, like, okay, he's probably trying to get ready to come. I feel my little cramps. So I went to bed. I woke up about 1 o'clock, and I told my husband, I said, hey, babe, I think your baby's starting to come. And so I got an app. If you are going for a VBAC or you're going for a natural birth, not even just natural birth, going into birth at all, there are so many apps that you can use to time your contractions so that you know when you're really actually getting close to active labor. So my doula had told me to get an app and start to time my contractions. So I started to time them, and they were like literally coming super quick. So I tried to go to sleep. I tried to take a bath. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. My contractions weren't super close, but I knew for sure I was having them. I called my doula 1 o'clock, and we all tried to just kind of go to bed. I took a bath, and I was like, man, these are still coming. And so, you know, I labored a little bit. I did some videos, watching videos of different positions that you could have done. I did not do one thing I wish I would have done was classes in regards to like labor, like positioning and just better breathing exercises and stuff like that. But I was on my hands and my knees, just laboring through while my husband was asleep. And once my, contractions started getting closer, I let my midwife know by 5 o'clock in the morning. So these started at 1. I've been sleeping, got up, took a bath, you know, texting, calling. And by 5 o'clock, I woke up and I was still having contractions. So we were already on our way there. So we got there maybe about 5:30. My best friend came, my husband was there. thankfully, we did a midwife in the midst of quarantine because my son was born in March, at the end of March, right when they were saying you can't have anybody in the hospital with you. But we were in a midwife and we still had flexibility there. Got to the midwife and just sat on the ball, birthed a little bit on the ball, got there and she tells me the bath was not working.
Oh, no.
I was looking forward to a bath, you know, a water birth. So, I mean, I went straight nothing, like no shower, none of those things. It was like I said, I was going to get redemption. I got it for sure. Okay. And so, but I started to see, like, as I was going through them, that if I just focused on the fact that the contraction was going to end, you know, some people say contraction, some people say waves, whatever works for you and whatever keeps your mindset in the place that birth is not a bad thing. It is natural. Go for it, girl. Like, I say contraction because it doesn't bother me, but it does bother some people. And in hypno babies, it may bother their bubble of peace. Use the word wave and ride it. Okay. But, you know, I was knowing that, like, I had to breathe through them all. They weren't going to last for 5 minutes. And so, like, when a contraction would hit, I would just get real still and focus on my breathing. I'd find a spot in the room and I'd focus on it until it was over. But I was able to actually birth and continue to have conversations. My best friend was there. They were like, "You're doing so great." Like, granted, because it was so intense, like, and you're in such an intense moment, I don't remember everything. But what I do remember is that it was not excruciating pain for me. But my mind had been prepared for that. I had been reading, listening to audiobooks every single day as I was walking in, just training my mind to know, like, if you don't tense up and you relax and let your body do what it's created to do, this will go smoother. I remember there was something I would listen to in some of the material that I listened to that it was just talking about. It was in Supernatural Childbirth, how it talks about your body is a muscle. And when we're birthing, when we tense up, if you ever got like a Charlie horse, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to relax, right? If you relax in a Charlie horse, it'll go away. But what do? We tense up and it hurts like crazy. And I learned when I connected that with birth, it made things smoother. So we got there about 5 o'clock. I did some ball, sitting on the ball. My husband did a lot of pressure on my hips. My best friend was there. She was awesome. Like, our whole friendship went to a whole new level. Okay. Cause she was there with me when I birthed. She was there with my baby was there. So, you know, she did a lot of, like massaging on my back for me, my lower back. So I had to do a lot of different techniques to just kind of ease some of the pressure that was happening. Because I didn't have any water. I didn't do a water birth. So we got there and it was so amazing because I always desired to have my baby early in the day, because when you have a midwife and you have a baby at a birthing center, the best part of it is that I'm going home. I'm not going to stay here all day. Like, I'm going to go home. And so we got there at 5. My son was there by 10:42. And so, no, I didn't have like a 2-hour birth, like some I've read, but I also didn't have a 30-hour labor. You know, I'll take 10 over. I'll take a total of 10 hours from the time, and that probably was 9 hours because it started at 1. I'll take a 9-hour birth from the time I realized that my contractions were going to the time my baby was here over anything. It was great. I do tell people all the time, like, if you're going to do natural, like, make sure you get your breathing down, because my breathing was some of the things that I was having issues with during the birth. And so, like, towards the end, at the end of my push, I pushed for 2 hours. I pushed for an hour. 2 or 1 hour? I feel like it was an hour. An hour probably sounds right. It was like a marathon. Like, it was, you don't realize what your body is capable of.
Right.
Like, you do not realize what your body is capable of. Breathing and literally finding a space in your mind. So because this was my third birth, because so many people had come against what I was doing, because I had had such a bad experience, because I had went through so much trying to find a doctor that would take me, because in my area, it's really hard to find doctors that not only do VBACs, but VBACs after two cesareans. It's even less. Your chances are smaller when it comes to VBAC, just doctors supporting that. But a VBAC after two cesareans is even, it's even harder to find. So I just knew, like, Sharina, you have got to fight through each contraction. You've got to listen to your body. You've got to work with your body, not against your body. And so that was a lot of where my mentality was during the birth. And just remembering, like, you didn't come this far to come this far. Like, you didn't come. And granted, there are some things that are outside of our control when it comes to birthing babies, you know, but I wanted to make sure that everything I could do on my end, I was going to do. And in the end, my son was here, you know, I had an amazing midwife. Like, she was a godsend. Like, there were things that only God could have shared with her to do, because I was so, your muscles, like, I don't know all the proper terminology, but she literally had to help my baby come out, because all my body, I dilated all the way to 10. My water broke this time. Like, with my other births, a lot of the reasons why I went into C-sections is because I wouldn't dilate. My body showed me that it was able. I dilated completely. I don't believe I got soft enough. And so, like, I was ready to push before it was, like, literally ready time to. So, like, my body was trying to get the baby. I was like, come on, let's just do this. And so my midwife was great. She was able to help me, you know, push the baby out in regards to, like, move, like, you know how that goes. They got to kind of
help in it.
Help a little bit, you know. So she was really, I don't even know how to, like, my mom was out there. If you had a baby, you know what I'm saying. Get in there and help a little bit. But my son came out and it was great. It was such a great experience. Like, everything I had prayed for, it was just like, oh my gosh, I did it. It was like, yes, this was probably the most intense thing I've ever gone through in my life. You know, no medicine, no anything, staying hydrated. People were hydrating me during the process, like making sure I was drinking my water. It was just literally felt like I was on a marathon. You know, when you're running and people are like, you're on the marathon and on the 5K or whatever you're running, and they're like throwing you the water bottles. And they're like, you know, I had a whole team of people around every corner of the birth that was like, my husband giving me my water, my best friend pushing on my back, the other midwife, she was throwing me scriptures to just keep my mind on God and keep my mind on what we were doing. And we as a team got there, and it was great. It was one of the best days I can recall in my life.
Aww, I love that.
Yeah, thanks. And I didn't, one of my biggest things I was scared of, I hope this is okay to even, we know what moms, you know, we're always scared of the tear, or mine wasn't horrible. I mean, I did, because I was pushing so hard. I had just a tiny tear, but my midwife, she was amazing. She got me taken care of, and I went right on home, had a burger. Like, I was like, I deserve a burger right now.
yeah, you do.
Had my baby and went and got a burger and came home.
That's awesome. And so how was your postpartum?
So my baby, you know, this birth was, it was, this pregnancy and this birth was, all of it was really redemptive for me. With my first two babies, like, even when it came to breastfeeding, like, my first two babies, I pumped with them. And so they never latched. I never looked into why they couldn't latch. I never got a lactation consultant. I just didn't do it. I started bleeding and I was like, nope. With this baby, I wanted everything done differently. So after having the baby, now I will tell you this. VBAC healing versus cesarean healing are way two different situations.
For sure.
I went in not prepared for my healing when it came to pushing the baby out. I had seen way too many people's posts about how, you know, I had wrong, unrealistic expectations for myself. You know, some people have a baby and they're like doing things. I couldn't even walk. I honestly could not. Like, after having the baby, I could not. It took me a while to get up from the bed and walk. It was such a shock. I think my body was in such shock of what had just happened. And also with my tear, like, my recovery was a little bit different. After you push a baby out, it's so different. And I feel like I spent all that time getting my mind ready on how to push the baby out that I had not prepared myself for the postpartum process. So that was a huge shocker for me. Like I struggled after the birth. Like my husband couldn't understand it. I think this was the first time I ever hit some blues after the baby. I was crying all the time, you know, because I think that I was just like, I was ready for the run, but like that next day, I felt like I had got hit, like my body felt like it had went through the ringer. I was so tired of my body. Like, and again, this also goes back to why I would exercise this time. I was like, I feel like I just did the Olympics, but I didn't train for it. I kept telling people that. I was like, my body feels like I just did the Olympics, but I did not train at all. I'm sore everywhere. And so I always tell moms now, I'm like, yes, I had a VBAC, but there was a lot that I could have done better. I could have exercised regularly so that my body would have been prepared for those hours of hard work that I just put through. I mean, that was like a 5-hour you know, you think about it, it was like a 5-hour workout.
Yeah.
So my body was like exhausted. It was so exhausted, but at the same time, that first day you're on such a high, you're like, I want to do all these things. You know, I would tell moms that do push babies, depends where my best friend.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh. They were amazing. I was like, Pads, who's ever got time for that anymore? They were amazing. I did make like little Padsicles that had like the aloe vera in it, the witch hazel in it. So those were amazing. If you can get those, especially for mamas who have tears, those were great. But I mean, it was a lot of just letting my body recoup. Because you don't realize that either way, like your body is going through something that is so, it's such a traumatic experience to our bodies, and not in a bad way, but it's like, this is not something that happens to it every single day. And I think that as mamas, we've got to give ourselves the grace to heal after having a baby, get you some friends to do a meal train, get you some people to get you some, you know, get Uber Eats. If you're a mama and you're pregnant, put some Uber Eats, some DoorDash, some gift cards on your baby registry, you know, so that you don't have to worry about food, because as mamas, we take care of everything, you know. So help your hubby, like, let you be in the bed all day so that you can rest and your body can be taken care of. And these are things like, as friends that are having babies or different things like that, these are things that will help you so that way you can just take the time to let your body rest. I had, my midwife had, it was a bath that you can take after the baby, mm-hmm. the herbal bath.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So because the bath was broken at the birthing center, I did it at home. That was amazing. After I did that, that was baby shower gifts. Any friends that I know that are having a natural birth, you're going to get plenty of quotes. I'm pretty sure. In the way that we all do things nowadays, I had friends ship me their hand-me-downs. So I was like, this herbal bath is a great gift for recovery for mamas down in their lady parts after the baby. So we had done all those things. It was just, I wish mentally that I had prepared for recovery, because as an achiever, I was like, oh my gosh, like I wasn't prepared for this. So it really, if I'm honest, like it really dropped me down. Like I was struggling for a couple of weeks because my baby had a lip tie. We knew right away that my son had a lip and a tongue tie. So I had to make the decision during COVID, first week of birth, to get his lip and tongue tie done. And everything, and also to mamas that are doing, you know, most people aren't going to do a VBAC in a midwife center or at home. Some are going to do it in a doctor, and it's completely two different processes after you have the baby. I was used to having a birth, like I had prepared for everything up to having the baby. That was my mindset focus. You got to have this baby with a VBAC. In hindsight, I wish I would have prepared more for after the birth. So like knowing that after you have the baby in a midwife section, setting up your ear doctor appointment, you know, getting the baby's ear testing, it's not done automatically for you. You have to schedule that. And if it's still during COVID season, you've got to even be more prepared. It was a month or 2 months after that my son was able to get his hearing test. So we were so concerned about that. Knowing how you're going to do if you decide to do a circumcision and you have son, you know, it's not the same as in a hospital. Your OBGYN does it. I had a rabbi do it. I was like, what is a rabbi? I didn't even know that they did that. Like, still, you know? So it was such a different process having my VBAC in a natural birth. It was like night and day. I needed to rest more, and I needed to give myself more permission to rest and understand that, girl, you just gave birth to a baby. But I met regularly with a lactation consultant. There are so many resources for lactation consultants that you don't even have to pay for. Prior, I didn't get a lactation consultant because I thought I had to pay for it. We don't know what we don't know. There's so many resources for lactation consultants that other people cover your expenses. And so I had a lactation consultant for free that I met with virtually, and I'm so grateful for her. I didn't breastfeed my son right away because it was so difficult with his tongue tie. It was just too stressful for me. But after a month in of pumping and just going through all the different things, he was able to latch. And so I still nurse him. You know, we're still nursing. He doesn't nurse full time, but all of it was worth it. So it was rough though. It was rough afterwards, but it was worth it. And I just had to keep myself surrounded with people that were going to uplift me and not push people away. Cause it's really easy to just say, no, I got this. I just want to be by myself. And I just had to really like hone in on the people that were there to support me. And we got through it. You know, we got through it.
That's so good.
It's exciting. I mean, it's like there's so many people who just give up on their dream. Like after that second time of me going through, like trying, and I did not get it, I was ready to just be like, I'm never having any more kids. Like I didn't do it. But man, with the proper preparation, with the proper support team, Facebook groups, like you don't have to have the money, like get a friend, go in a Facebook group, get somebody that's able to help you, give you advice, or subscribe to Vanessa's podcast. Listen to the stories. There's so much resources out there to help mamas get to the birth that they have. Because I think that once we get in our mind that we can't do it, then we've already lost half the battle.
Exactly.
Man, it's so, you hear the saying, mind over matter. And I just, like, literally, I keep going back to my birth and I just remember being in my head. So strong in my head. Like, I told you about my doula, like she came a little late, but because I was so zoned in and focused, and because I was so focused on what was going on, I couldn't add anybody to the team. And I was like, we've got a good grip. Everything is going. I will see you after the birth. I'm so glad you're here, but I'll need you after. I'm focused. My mind is here. And so just literally that mind part, I'm glad you asked that because a lot of people think it's just your body. Even as my body was not completely prepared for it, but because my mind was so focused and so set, and I had been training it to know, like, your body can do this, you know. And to my mamas who, you know, because there are situations that happen when you do have a VBAC that are outside of your control, you know, those things we can't control, but control what you can. You can't control what you can't, but control what you can. And it starts with your mind.
For sure. So if you had any advice or any bits of wisdom for anybody going for a VBAC, what would that be?
Educate. I cannot tell people enough when that first midwife, now granted, I went through a lot of people, you know, so I got a lot of information from doctors, midwives, but when that first midwife came and she gave me statistics and she gave me facts and she gave me numbers that trumped everything I was being told based on a doctor's opinion and preference, I was set. Nobody could tell me anything else. I just had to find the person that was going to have the facts that I had that was going to support me on the way. And I know you asked for one tip, but I just have one more. Oh, I can give more.
Oh, yeah.
Keep searching. You have the right to choose who's going to care for you in your birth. And I think that a lot of people, they'll get with the doctor. I'm in so many VBAC groups on Facebook, and I'll see it saddens my heart when a girl says, my doctor said that I'm not a good candidate, or they said because of this, I can't. Get a second opinion. Go to another doctor. Call another midwife. Tell them your story. Tell them what you're expecting. They'll get your history. They'll get your medical records, and they'll be able to tell you. Because a lot of people, it's easier to do, and it's so sad to say, it's easier to do a C-section. It's easier, you know, it's easier for you time-wise, the doctors, the staffs, it's just easier. And you have the right to choose who's going to take care of you and who's going to help you get the birth. Like, advocate for your own body, like advocate for your own body. It's yours and nobody can speak up for it like you can. Keep looking until you get them. Like, I felt bad leaving the doctor that I had, and there was nothing wrong with him. He was great. He had a great background on VBACs. But I just knew that I didn't want to have the baby in a hospital. Personally, there's nothing wrong with it. My preference was, if you're a mama that's going to have a baby in a hospital, just make sure you know everything. Make sure you know if you have to be hooked to bed. Make sure you know what their monitoring system is like. Make sure you know, like, what their circumstances are, what their procedures are in regards to certain things that happen, or your history. Again, educate, because then you're more equipped for what you want, and then know what you want. I knew what I wanted. I knew I didn't want any medicine. I knew that I wanted, the only way I was going to get what I wanted was with a midwife. Like, that was the best place for me because of what I desired for my birth. And so birth plans are amazing. That doesn't mean that it's going to go that way, but it's great to have a plan and then be flexible with your plan. So I had a birth plan. I knew I wanted music playing when I had the baby, and that was awesome because, like, I don't know if you know who Elevation Worship is, but they have a song that says, I'm going to see a victory. That was the song my baby came out to. I was like, God, are you playing my, are you like on this Pandora playlist right now? Because this is perfect. So just know what you want and be okay with what you want. Be okay if your birth story is not like mine. Be okay if your birth story is not like the other mama on whatever Facebook group you're on or whatever podcast you listen to. Like, know what you want and then go after it with flexibility, knowing that everything doesn't go your way, but do your best to get what you desire.
For sure. That is all such great advice. I think your advice just, like, hits it on the head. Like, educate, and advocate for yourself, and know you have options.
You definitely do. And get yourself, even if it's just, you know, with the hypno babies, they talk about a bubble of peace. Like, having that place where that whatever's coming, you know, from what I've heard of it, whatever's coming your way, like, it can come your way, but it cannot penetrate your peace about what you've decided. Have support. Like, even if, you know, your family, like I mentioned, my family was not on board. Like, I had to tell them my birth is not something we can discuss. Like, you know, I appreciate the fact that you're concerned, but I'm going to be okay. I'm 30 years old. You know, at the time I was 30 years old, like, I'm a grown adult with three kids. I appreciate the concern, but please just trust, like, I'm making the right decision. And it was no longer a conversation that I discussed, because whether we realize it or not, people's words, people always say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. They do, whatever. I don't know who made that up.
Right.
I don't know who made that up, but words have a way of sticking to you if you don't refuse them. You know, and, you know, the word of God says that power and death are in the power of life and death are in our tongue. And so you've just got to really be careful with the people that you're surrounding yourself with, or who are speaking over, because what people will do is, if they're afraid of VBACs, everything they say is going to be afraid. It's going to be out of fear. It's going to be fear-based. And that will then come on to you and you'll be afraid of your uterine rupturing. And not that those are not things that can happen, but that should not be your focus when you're going into birth. Your focus should be the fact that soon I'm going to have a baby in my arms. Soon I'm going to push my baby out. Soon this baby, my body is going through the process of everything it needs to do to push a baby out. Right now, my cervix is expanding, you know, everything is softening so that my baby can come through right the way it needs to. It's coming. My baby's head is churning. Like it's coming down the birthing canal. Like those are the things you need to be focused on rather than everything that can go wrong. Focus on what can go right in your birth. And so like the community that you're surrounded with. So Vanessa, your podcast is a great community for people who are considering VBACs. We met in a VBAC group on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, we met on a VBAC group on Facebook. And so get in VBAC groups, talk to people who have done and are where you want to be. And man, just those are just three little things that I would share, but those will be things that will carry you all the way to your victory of VBAC.
For sure. Yes.
I love it.
I love it too. Well, thank you so, so much for sharing your story. I really enjoyed having you on tonight.
Thank you. I'm really happy to share it. I was really glad to even just, you know, to hear from you to even do this. So this was such an honor, especially it was like the cherry on the cake of such a, you know, such an experience of like so many years of going through. So keep doing what you're doing, girl. This is great. This is really great.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you again for coming on and sharing. It was so fun and I loved hearing your story.
Oh, thanks, Vanessa. This was fun.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Delivery Diaries. If you are loving The Delivery Diaries birth and adoption stories, it would mean so much if you would rate or review the podcast. If you'd like to see pictures from this week's episode, head over to @thedeliverydiaries on Instagram and Facebook.